10-point simple statement of faith. So if you didn't ever get one of these cards, there's some on the back table by Joe. But today is a new month, May, and so we're on the 5th point in our statement of faith. So you might, just as a recap, if you haven't been here all of the weeks that we've been going through this, in January I spoke about, I believe in one God, the creator of heaven and earth. In February we spoke about, I believe that the Bible is God's inspired, trustworthy, and authoritative word for truth and life. In March, I spoke about, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who lived a sinless life, died on the cross, was buried, and was raised from the dead. In April, I spoke about, I believe that Jesus is the promised Messiah, our Savior and coming King. And today, we're on point number 5, and it's about the Holy Spirit. And so, this is written from my perspective, but I hoped to make this statement of faith something that anyone could pick up and read, pretty much from any denomination that says they're Christians. And we've got points in different denominations that we disagree about, but I wanted to make a statement of faith that we can pretty much all agree on, and I think this is pretty much that way. Maybe some people would prefer that there's more detail in there, or maybe a little less detail, but for the most part, I think we all can agree that the Holy Spirit is a powerful gift from God that helps believers live lives marked by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. In King James, they use some slightly different words there, but those are the main things that you should be seeing as fruit in the person, in the life of a person who is filled with the Holy Spirit. So if your cup is filled with the Holy Spirit, when life gives you a bump in the road, these are the things that should spill out. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And this sermon is for me as much as anyone else. I'm not a patient person a lot of times. I'm not self-controlled. I'm not a kind person always. I have moments of kindness, but I'm not a kind person a lot of times. So that tells me that my cup is not completely full of what it should be. And so this morning we're looking at the Holy Spirit and what it means to have the Holy Spirit present in your life. So just there, a little bolder and clearer, if you couldn't read it on the colored card. I'd like to read this together as out loud as a congregation. So I'll start it here and just join in and read with me. I believe the Holy Spirit is a powerful gift from God that helps believers live lives marked by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. This is what happens when you dictate into PowerPoint while you're driving down the road. Another slide that you didn't put in there. These patients instead of peace and patience. I want to give you a phrase to think about this morning. And I'm going to repeat it several times through the message. And I would encourage you to say it out loud too with me as we go. I'll read it the first time. Let me get my notes pulled up here. So the phrase is, it's not just in you, it should come out of you. Okay? So that's that fifth statement of faith. I believe the Holy Spirit, blah, blah, blah. It's a nice statement, but it's also very easy to misunderstand what is being said. Because when people hear the words Holy Spirit, they think about very different things. I think a lot of people think about kind of a mysterious ghost-like personality, and or something distant, something that's kind of hard to define what it is. But I believe that Scripture brings it into focus if we actually look at it. It defines what the Holy Spirit is. I don't believe it's a personality. I believe it's a power from God. So I want to give you this phrase. It's not just in you. It should come out of you. So I invite you to repeat it with me. It's not just in you. It should come out of you. Because the Holy Spirit is not just something we talk about. It's something that shows up in how we live. So we've got 3 points today. 3 words. It's 3 single words. The first of these 3 single words that I want you to remember is given. I believe that the Holy Spirit is given. So turn with me, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. It's in the Old Testament, so on about page 740 in my Bible, so not quite the middle, but pretty close. Ezekiel chapter 36. In Ezekiel 36, God is speaking to his people, people who had failed him. They had wandered from him, and they could not fix themselves. And instead of saying, do better, God makes a promise. So let's look at Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27. It says there, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. Now this is important. The Spirit is not something you earn. The Spirit is something that God gives. There's a difference between earning a paycheck and getting a gift, isn't there? If you earn something, you've done something to deserve it. If you're given a gift, most of the time you've done nothing to deserve it. A birthday gift, you've done nothing that was by your own power. You were born. That's the only thing you've done. And you've lived another year. And you get a gift, right? You didn't do anything to earn it. And that's what I believe the Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is a gift. It's not something you can earn or something you can do a certain checklist and then you receive it. It's a gift. So notice this. God doesn't say, I want you to try harder. He says, I will put my spirit in you. That means transformation. Transformation doesn't start with effort. It starts with God. God doesn't say, try harder. He says, I'll put my spirit in you. The Spirit is a gift placed inside of you by God. So some of us today are, some of us today are trying to be more patient. We're trying to be more loving. We're trying to control our tempers. Some of us are exhausted from trying because we're trying to produce something without recognizing the source. God is holiness. God is goodness. God is the definition of patience. I've talked in some of my sermons before about the bars and tones. God is the standard of those words. God is the definition of holiness. So you can't be holy on your own. You will never achieve true patience and goodness and kindness and gentleness without the Holy Spirit. That's my belief, that God is the source. God is the source of those attributes. So the Christian life is not about you forcing fruit. It's about God placing something in you that brings change. It begins to change you. And this is where it comes in. It's not just in you, it should come out of you. So remember that phrase. It's not just in you, it's something that should come out of you. Let's look at point number two of our three words that I want to remember. Shown. So the first word was, anybody remember?
Given.
The Holy Spirit is given. Second thing is the Holy Spirit is shown. Given and shown. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4, if you would. Now we come to Jesus in Luke chapter 4, the Son of God, the very perfect example of a Spirit-filled life in Luke chapter 4. Let's look at Luke chapter 4, verse 1. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led by the Spirit. Notice that? The Spirit didn't just sit in him. It led him. It directed him. Let's look at still in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 now. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. So this is Jesus talking. He's saying someone else has anointed him. And so as we're reading through the Old Testament, we read about anointings. Last night, if you're doing the chronological plan and you're on track, we read a very short psalm. What was the number?
133.
Psalm 133. Yep. It's three verses long. So after reading through some of First Chronicles, that was a welcomed reprieve. It's three verses, and it's talking about anointing and what a blessing it is for oil to run down your head and into your beard. And we talked in our house about that doesn't really actually sound that pleasant to me, but it was a thing that was done to mark royalty or somebody special. Or something special was happening when somebody was anointed in the Bible. In the New Testament, it talks about, is any one of you sick? You should call on the elders of your church, and they should anoint your head with oil. It's not something we really do in this congregation, but maybe we should. I don't know. It's like some of these other things that we do, singing songs that we don't know. Gathering in small groups to pray for each other is kind of uncomfortable. Like, we don't really do that. I don't know if we should do it or not. But it's something that's in the Bible, so maybe we should study it and see, should we be doing that? But this anointing, it doesn't happen, you don't do it to yourself. You don't pour oil on your own head. Somebody else does it for you. It's a ceremonial thing. And so Jesus in Luke chapter 4 is saying, the Spirit of the Lord is in me, is on me, because he, the Lord, has anointed me. So the Lord God chose Jesus for something special and anointed him. And because of that, the Holy Spirit was on him or in him. So what happens next after this Luke chapter 4, verse 18? Well, Jesus starts doing some things. He teaches, he heals, he serves, and he obeys God perfectly. So this is the key. The Spirit in Jesus was visible. It showed up in everything that he did. The Spirit is not just something you have. It's something that shapes how you live. So Scripture shows us clearly the Holy Spirit is not a separate person living inside of us. It's not like you've been possessed by a ghost. But the power and presence of God working through us. It is God influencing our thoughts, our actions, our character. So if the Spirit is truly at work in your life, it won't stay hidden. That's my belief anyway. That's my theory. Check me out on this and see if what the preacher is saying is true. Never take my word for it, but check it out and see if the Bible says that, if lives back it up. It won't stay hidden. If the Spirit is truly at work in your life, it won't stay hidden. If Jesus lived a life directed by God's Spirit, then following him means our lives should begin to look different. 2. If Jesus lived a life directed by God's Spirit, then following him, Jesus, means that our lives should begin to look different too. And that brings us right back to our phrase. Let's see if it's, it's not up there, but I want you to remember this phrase. It's not just in you, it should come out of you. Say it with me. It's not just in you, it should come out of you. Point 3 is this. The Holy Spirit should have produce. There should be produce involved in a Holy Spirit-filled life. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, if you would. Galatians chapter 5 in the New Testament. Galatians chapter 5. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, we see the result, not the theory, not belief alone, but evidence. What evidence there is for the Holy Spirit. So in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is what the Spirit produces. It's not perfection overnight, but it is direction, it is growth, it is change. In a person who is filled, who has filled their cup with the Holy Spirit, then you should see these things spilling out, this fruit, this produce. Notice what this does not say in Galatians chapter 5. It doesn't say, these are the gifts, you're going to get gifts that you like to talk about. It doesn't say, you'll know that somebody is Spirit-filled by their knowledge that they have. It doesn't say, you'll know somebody is Spirit-filled by their church attendance. It says fruit. Fruit is visible. Fruit is recognizable in some cases. Last night we went to the grocery store and we saw something called apple pear? Like, where did this come from? I've never heard of an apple pear in my 44 years of life before last night. But it looked like a pear, but it, I guess, tastes like an apple. You know, it's sort of pear-skinned, but fruit is recognizable. Fruit is something that is experienced by others. If you're producing fruit, others can taste that fruit and see if it really is fruit. You know, I was hoping that Caleb might be here this morning, because I know that they do a lot with the fruit and produce stand. So this could be something that maybe relates, that they could relate to. If you produce fruit and you say it's an apple, it should look and taste like an apple. Fruit is experienced by others. So here's the honest question for all of us this morning. If the Spirit is in you, what is coming out of you? If the Spirit is in you, Flag Center Church of God, what is coming out of you? If the Spirit is in you, Brian Fralick, what is coming out of you? What are other people seeing come out of you when you get bumped? Alan, April, you didn't see the unfortunate accident that I had. You see the remnants of it here. But I was running late this morning, came in with my cup here and tripped and spilled water and ice from there to there and across onto the floor, so everybody could see what my cup was filled with. It spilled out when I tripped. It wasn't filled with hot coffee, thankfully. I didn't burn anyone with hot coffee because my cup wasn't filled with hot coffee. It was filled with ice water. Cold, refreshing ice water. So what are people seeing in you? What is coming out of you when you get bumped? What is different about you from when you became Spirit-filled compared to when you were in your unspirit-filled phase? So before you were baptized, those of you that are baptized, before you were baptized, was your life looking any different than it is now? For some of us, the honest answer is not really. We just had a baptism ceremony, but we're just kind of the same still. Maybe a little less of how we used to be. So what are people seeing coming out of you? Is there more love? Is there more patience? Is there more self-control? Or does your life look exactly the same as it did before? This is a sermon for me as much as anybody else. I've gone to many, many church camps and retreats, ministers' conferences, been to Christian Worker Seminar once. And you go and it's easy to feel really on a mountaintop when you go to these kinds of things. You feel like, yes, these are my people. I'm one of them, right? And then you come home and then, you know, one of the reasons why I did that little object lesson is because this has happened many times. This is one of my favorite cups. I have a couple of cups that I really like, but this one here is from the air show. It's one of my favorites. It really keeps things cold well. And, you know, while I was on my crutches a few months ago, it was hard to carry things. And so I liked this one because it has a handle. Some of my cups don't have a handle, but I was doing my crutch thing, you know, and someone in my family offered to help because they were seeing me struggle with the cup. you know? And that someone dropped my cup in the driveway and it got dented and the lid, I bought these special lids, okay? The lid that came with this is not as good as these. I bought these on Amazon. They're magnetic, so you can take them off and clean them good. And I had just bought some more of those lids not too long before this incident. And this person dropped my cup, and the lid broke, and the cup got dented. Now it doesn't, you see, it doesn't really sit flat anymore. It'll wiggle. And man, I felt angry about that. And just the other day, another person in my family was trying to help me carry my cup, because I think it was Wednesday night after we just came home from Bible study. Yeah. And I've got the projector and the box of stuff and the projector stand, and I got a cup. I forget if it was this one or another one, but you know what? The cup got dropped in the driveway again. Or no, it got dropped right in the entryway of the house as we're as we're all coming in. And everybody's socks got wet. Does anybody love wet socks? Yeah. And man, it's hard to be patient when your favorite cup gets dropped and your socks are wet, isn't it? So how does your life look different from before you were filled with the Holy Spirit? This is not about earning salvation. This is not about earning or checkboxing, doing the right things. This is about evidence of transformation. You should have some evidence of transformation. And for those who haven't yet responded to God, God's call on your life, this matters. Because God is not just calling you to believe something. He's not just calling you to attend church and agree with something. He's not just calling you to turn in your Bibles and verify that it's actually in this book. He's calling you to something, to become something. This Spirit, this Holy Spirit, isn't something that should just be in you. It should come out of you. So say it with me one more time. It's not just in you, it should come out of you. So let's bring this together in closing. Wrap it all up in a nice little bundle for you. God gives His Spirit. I don't believe it's a separate person of the Trinity. I believe it's God's power to achieve things that you can't do on your own because we're flawed. And as hard as we try, without God's Spirit, we can't be truly patient. We can't be truly good or kind. We got to fill our cup with the right things. So God gives His Spirit. Jesus shows us what it looks like. And our lives should produce the evidence. So gives, shows, and produce. God gives it. Jesus shows it. Our lives should produce it. If it's real in you, it will be visible through you. If you've already committed your life to God, keep going, keep growing, keep letting it show. If you claim that the Spirit is in you but nothing is coming out, today is a moment to stop and take that seriously. If you've never responded to God yet, this is your invitation. You don't have to fix yourself first. You don't have to clean everything up. How many of you, when you know somebody's coming over to visit, you got to clean things up? You got to clean up the house? This is me more than anybody else, I think. If somebody were to say, "I'm coming over to your house today," I would feel embarrassed. I would feel like I gotta clean some things up before I'm ready for that. You don't have to clean yourself up first for God to fill you with His Holy Spirit. God gives the Spirit. God does the work. Your role is simply to respond, to turn to Him, to begin following Him. And when you do, He will begin to work in you. And that will not stay hidden. So wherever you are today, whether you're here in this physical church building, or I know the sermon's being recorded and streamed, if you're at your own home, you couldn't make it to church today, then this is for you too. If you're Brian Frelick watching this video sometime in the future, this is for you too. I'm talking to you. Wherever you are today, wherever you're hearing these words, say it with me. It's not just in you, it should come out of you. All right. We're going to close with a video song here. If you catch on to the words, please sing along. If you don't know it, don't feel comfortable singing it, don't know the tune, whatever, just meditate on the words as we play this video.